So today, hey, it's super exciting. Welcome Hope at Home. Welcome Hope here in the building. If you haven't ever seen someone who's never seen snow at her young age, Gretel was running around in the parking lot today like a mad woman. And she lives in Costa Rica. She's been there her whole life, and she's a missionary for Christ for the city. And then next to her is Jessica. She's lived in Costa Rica for 5 years. And we are so excited to have them with us today. And as I was thinking about joy, I thought about the scripture that is in Luke chapter 2. And the angels say this, "I will bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." What is the good news? It's the Savior. What is the good news? It's for all people. And then after the shepherds went and saw Jesus, so not only did they get it, they went and gave it. And one of the greatest ways that you and I can experience joy in our lives is when we get the love of Christ, and then when we're able to give the love of Christ. That is purpose. A lot of people don't have purpose. And when you give the love of Christ, it is amazing the difference that it makes. And so we've been going to Costa Rica for quite a few years, and we thought it would be fun just to hear from friends who live in Costa Rica. Hey, what has Hope Church and Friends of Hope Church, what kind of a difference? Because a lot of us haven't been able to go to Costa Rica. I thought it'd just be kind of fun to hear, you know, what has God allowed us to do in Costa Rica? So maybe Gretel, just share a little bit about that, and we won't go too long because we know you want to get back out in the snow. And this was really funny, though. One of Ross and Amanda's kids, they made a snowball and threw it at her, and she missed, and she's like, "Oh, I'm sorry." She gave it back to him, and then they hit her with it. And she goes, "He snowed me." So just tell us a little bit, you know, a little background, anything you want to share with us.
Well, first I want to share something that it's about my life, and to tell you, when I was called to this amazing ministry, I went and asked my pastor, and I thought he was going to be very excited because I was called to, you know, be a director of a huge mission, and I was still trying to believe it. And he was not very nice, and I was like, "What's wrong?" And then I didn't understand what was going on, but then I knew, and someone told me, "It's because they think you are going to ask for money." And I was never thinking in asking for money. I needed support. And so we changed churches, not because of that, because taking over Christ for the City, we went to church that they started. So anyways, I went to this other pastor, so excited, and I received the same. And so I realized that, okay, God, this is you and me, and, you know, I'm not going to let this to hurt my life. And I continued, but it was always something that I prayed for, to feel like that was a church that was, you know, there for me. And it has nothing to do with finances. And so Jim, last year, he said, "Did you receive a letter," which I never received, "about a Hope Church having you as their missionary?" And he didn't know that I was in tears, just so thankful and thinking, I have a home church. So I am in my home church. those have been great times. And ever since Jim has came, I mean, once I remember the first time I think that he got to meet me, I was in a big crisis with my daughter. And so beyond, you know, the tour that we have, he came and prayed. So I just want to, I probably you don't know, but we have so many ministries. We go to really the poorest people you can imagine, the people in more trouble, gang kids, hitmen, and different ministries. And I feel that backup. I feel we are all in this team, and we are all family. And you are part of, you know, what we are doing in there. Every time during this big crisis of COVID, we fed hundreds, not because we had the resources, but because he called us to do it, and we trusted, and then we received support, you know. And then we were feeding so many people, and we received phone calls saying, "We have 3 days with nothing to eat." So Maybe you have no idea what it represents for me. And I'm, you know, praise the Lord, I'm the director of the organization. We have 55 missionaries. We have 112 volunteers working with us in the most difficult neighborhoods of our country in Costa Rica. And having a church in here, just praying, just knowing that you care about us has been amazing. This last trip, particularly, I was really moved to see how my missionaries, has been a tough year for all the world, but in Costa Rica, it was, you know, beyond the normal, you know, precautions. It went really bad. So to hear my missionaries so inspired to go again, because when they were coming to talk to them, I could tell some of them don't break easily, and they were completely broken, and telling them, I feel loved, I feel taken care of, I feel someone, because we haven't had any visitor in the whole, and they were brave, and we were talking about it. My kids are like, Mom, you know that there were many deaths last night in United States, and you're there, and I'm like, I can die in Costa Rica. So praise the Lord that they were brave enough to go to Costa Rica, where is a tough thing about COVID as well, and that he allowed me to go to come here and get to meet my home church. I'm so grateful. You guys probably will never have an idea on how many places you get with broken women and ladies that have been, you know, abused all the ways possible, children. And we're right now working with a nice counselor center for children that are abused in 95% in a very bad community. And you guys are part of this. So I really
we're
came
part
to
of
tell
the
you,
answer.
The what?
The answer. We're not part
oh,
of
yeah,
the problem.
Oh, yeah, the answer. No, yeah. No.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Something was lost in the translation. Yeah, yeah. Well, we're part of the solution. Yeah,
I am not native speaker. And through hard paths, I know some mistakes I cannot make. Like when I see like beach, I say it's so long, beach, and other words that I learned. That, so you are patient with my English because I learned in the streets.
So Jessica, what do you have to share?
So moving on, no. And she's disinfecting everything, so beware if you come near, she sprays this. It's okay, just laugh at her. But for me, it's an honor to be here. For several years now, I've known Jim, and then your church has also adopted me as a missionary, and Hope Church is being a light around the world. I know you guys go to other countries as well, but in Costa Rica, you guys are touching thousands of lives, and I know there's not a lot of you that have been able to come. My hope and prayer is that more of you will get to come, but you guys are making a difference in Costa Rica. And so I just want to share a couple of those stories. For example, I have a house that's for girls coming out of addictions, and so I currently have two girls and then a five-year-old. And then on Friday nights, this last Friday, I had about 15 people in my house, and you guys helped build that house. And so for me, it's so cool to have people come alongside and say, we believe in what God's doing through you, and we want to pat you on the back and keep you going forward. And for me, it was really cool because Friday night we had all these girls over, and Sunday we had the youth service. And one of my girls, Vanessa, she's from El Salvador. She was dating a guy who was in it's called the Mara or the MS-18 gang, if you've heard of that. And so she escaped from El Salvador with her four-year-old daughter at the time, and because they were fearful for their own death. And her mom was threatened after they left. But it was so cool to just see the transformation that's happened as we're sitting in service, and the girl next to her has just come along. She's about a 15-year-old who's in a relationship with a 30-year-old and has a lot of problems going on. But to look over and see Vanessa with her arm around her praying for her, and she's like, just because she's ready to receive Jesus, what do I do? And I'm like, pray for her, walk her through it. And to watch Vanessa turning into that leader. And that's what I believe is empowering other people. But I can't do that without other people empowering me. And you guys have been such a light in that. And then this last week, I guess Aaron will probably share a little bit of that. But they came down and just got to bless people right and left, and to just watch these smiles come along, the guys that are in the refuge that are coming out of addictions who no one's ever believed in them. And for someone to come to say, I'm going to take you to this store and let you buy a new wardrobe. The people who own this store came up to Pastor Christian and they said, I know I want to help you, but these guys need to go in the changing room to try the clothes on. They were so excited they were changing out in the aisles. Because they've never had anyone come alongside and take them to a store to buy. And so it was just so cool to watch and to know behind everything that's happened through Hope Church in Costa Rica. You guys are here believing, praying, supporting, sending money. Everything that you're doing is changing lives. And I get the privilege to see it firsthand, to see guys who have been in gangs hug on Pastor Jim and see him riding a donkey. I wish they had put that that picture. You should ask him to see the donkey picture. It's pretty great. But to just see him come along and the other guys, to see Jack share his testimony and just to hear the way that your lives matter, but your lives matter to empower these guys and girls and women and children that have never had anyone believe in them.
Do you have to be. I know he's going to cut me. But I thought in the beginning you were a huge church because you were helping so much. And so this is just amazing that you honor the Lord in such a way that we, you know, we receive so much blessing. I cannot count how many and how much people we have reached through this. So I was, for me, amazing when I came here and I saw it. I said, I thought it was those mega churches you have in America, and it wasn't. So it was neat to know that you guys sign up and the joy of giving. I mean, you know, this guy's so happy all the time is because he learned that big, you know, tip in the Bible, is the joy of giving. And so just you can live a different life. When I have families and even my friends that come and say, I am going through a depression, I say, come and serve. Come and serve. Let's go. Let's go to serve other ladies. And you have heard their testimonies. One of my friends, super depressed, and I said, what is this? She invited me to the house to pray for her, and they, just a little.
Well, you're good.
Okay. So she had this amazing work that she did quilting. And so she's now working in Tirasa's ministries with the ladies. She overcame. She doesn't take pills anymore. She has a joy. And now she had been going through hard times by not to be able to go and minister them. But that's the way to reach the, you know, the biggest level of joy. And I can tell you with my own life, beyond circumstances, beyond whatever you're going through, when you think in others, it's when you really see God through you, you know, doing his amazing purpose for your lives.
Amen. You know, there was a verse I was going to share in 1 Peter that talks about, even though you're experiencing hard times now, and everybody is, right? I mean, there's nobody who has been untouched by what is going on. And unfortunately, in Costa Rica, they have really bad unemployment, and a lot of their industry has to do with tourism, and no tourists are there. And so there's a lot more people who are unemployed, and the government is not able to help. And so then there are people who are a lot more desperate, and then that equals people who are doing things they wouldn't ordinarily do just to provide for their families. But I love what this says. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you don't see him now, you believe in him. And then it says, and you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you know you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And, you know, we had people tell us, I had someone write me a letter. We just got back from Costa Rica, and they said, you can't go there. You know, it's a red zone, and there's so many people who have COVID there, there's no way you can go there. Well, here's the conflict of that. A few months ago, the Lord spoke to my heart, and those of you who know me well, I don't just fly around saying that. That's not I pull out the Trump card and say, hey, this is how it is. The Lord really spoke to my heart, and he says, Jim, you guys, and there's a three of us who went, someone who goes to our church, Aaron, and he's going to talk a little bit, then someone who doesn't go to the church here, who's a really good friend of ours, and we just love him a bunch. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, you need to go to Costa Rica and just bring the blessing to them. Just go there with no expectation of anything other than being a blessing. And so that's what I felt like the Lord told me. But a lot of people said, you can't go there. It's really bad in that. And I remember like in seminary, people, you know, would you be willing to die for Jesus? I'm like, I don't know, you know. And the question I had to ask myself lately is, forget dying for Jesus. How about are you willing to live for Jesus? How about are you willing to live on purpose and go make a difference? And so many of us have forgotten that we have a purpose in life. And this is not our home, that heaven is our home. And I took a little risk to go to Costa Rica. But we made an eternal difference. I mean, you weren't able there to see the guys who we took and bought clothes. And one of the guys stepped up and said, I have never in my life been given a Christmas gift. And we gave it to him. We went to the clinic. We drug 99.9 pounds of medical supplies. And we're able to give them a pretty generous cash gift. And I just got a letter back saying, I am blown away at what you were able to do. They have had no resources, and they're still taking care of people who can't afford health insurance. We went to the refuge, and of course, that's where we helped them do that chicken coop. You know, they have 80 eggs a day, so they're not only feeding guys fresh eggs, they have a bread ministry. I mean, there's so many things going on, and what I want to say to Hope at Home and Hope in the Building is your life more important than your mission? And I think we can forget that. You know, in Ephesians chapter 3, it talks about how great God is, and it says in chapter 4, therefore, walk worthy of your calling because you have been called by Christ Jesus. And I'm sorry that it's hard for me, it's hard for you, it's hard for everybody, but you have been called by Christ Jesus, and by us being locked down and not doing what he wants us to do doesn't promote the gospel and show that we even have faith in Jesus. Okay, I'm done with that. But let me just say this. And so I had to make this choice. It's a huge conflict. I mean, I love my grandkids. I love my family. I love you. But God said, Jim, I want you to go and bring the Christmas blessing. What do you do? I want to be your pastor. In order to be your pastor, I cannot live in fear and isolation and I'm trying to be safe and healthy, and we wore masks all the time, and Gretel sprayed some concoction on us. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to grow antlers because of that. But, here's the thing that you got to know. You can save your life and lose it. You can save your life here and lose it for eternity. But you have been called by Christ Jesus. And I've been called by Christ Jesus. When I signed up to follow him, I didn't get a choice. It's either follow him or quit following him. I mean, this isn't the first time we've all been persecuted with a plague. This isn't the first time things have been hard. And I want to tell you this. I love you. And I am so thankful that some of you have said, I'm coming alongside with this. When you give to missions, guess what we just did? We were the hands and feet of the dollars you gave. And I'm telling you, it made a difference. It made more of a difference than you will ever know this side of heaven. I mean, I can't even explain. I'm going to let Aaron share some of that. But I'm excited that, I mean, it's just been hard. But I was reminded this week, I have a purpose for my life. I don't care if there's a pandemic. I don't care if there's COVID. I don't care if I get cancer. I don't care if I fall in the snow. I don't care. I have a purpose for the Lord, and I've got to fulfill that purpose until I go to be with the Lord. Or why in the world am I faking it? And here's the problem with the church in America. We're too comfortable. I mean, if it wasn't a pandemic and there's snow, people don't want to come to church. If it's rainy, people don't want to come to church. We've allowed God to become the croutons to our salad. We'll take the croutons, we'll leave them, and we think God's good with that. You know, when I go to Costa Rica, I get kind of fired up because I see these gang people, they've shut down nothing. The hospital shut down nothing. because they have a purpose greater than the life they're living. And I'm not condemning anybody today. There's no way you should be condemned. But by God, I hope that we are challenged, that we are not supposed to live completely isolated from the world that Jesus died for. It's not about you and me just getting a Christmas present, because that's why we're miserable. That's why we're depressed. That's why we're just hating life. We have been called to the purpose, the greatest enterprise on the planet. And that might mean you doing exactly what God's called you to do. And He has called you to do something, whether you're a shut-in, whether you're somebody who gets to go to work at home or somebody who gets to go to the office, whatever that is, do not exclude yourself from the call of God, or you'll be missing the blessings of God. Well, I hadn't planned to say that, but I'm sure glad I did. Okay, back to you two. And then Aaron's going to kind of, he's going to be the anchor man and kind of wrap anything. Anything else, any ministry thing, Jessica, anything that you want to share with them just about your heart and kind of what you're doing? And then Gretel, just, I don't know that everybody knows what you do, Jessica, other than, you know, you help so much with the refuge and that.
So I'm our director of global teams, but that's not really important. So when groups come from the U.S., I lead them to our ministries and get to share what we're doing. And my biggest heart is that each group that would come, they would know, what is God saying and what am I to do? And that's something, basically what Jim is just saying, like, what is God saying to you guys through what we're sharing, and what are you to do about it? Because I truly believe God has a purpose for each one of us. And so that's one of the fun parts of my job, is when groups come down, especially high school kids, to share what God did in me to get me to where I'm at. And it's just loving people and loving God wherever you are. And so I challenge you with that. And then last three years I've been working in the Refuge, which is our center for men coming out of addictions and gangs. They're hitmen, and it's changed my life completely to just see what God can do. I think before I believed who God was, but I didn't realize what God truly can do. And seeing, just this last week, we preached on forgiveness, and one of the guys just weeped, and he came up to Pastor Christian afterwards, and he said, I've decided I need to forgive my father. He's coming out of jail this week, but when I was 9 years old, he killed my mother in front of me. And I mean, that's not an easy situation, and it's not a normal thing for someone to say, I'm going to go find my father this week, and I'm going to forgive him and tell him that Jesus loves him. And he's been in the Refuge for about 5 months. And so in the middle of the pandemic, he's found Jesus. He's turning around. He's forgiving, and now he wants to find what his call is and where God's moving him. And so through all of that, I began to meet girls that are in the same situation. And I said, well, what do we do with them? And the funny part is, I said, okay, that's cool. We'll build a center and we'll have a leader there, and then I'll help it. But God had other plans. And so I built a house, and it was for me in the beginning. And God said, that's not for you. This is going to be where I'm going to transform girls, and my glory is going to abide here, and you're going to be the one living with them. And so normally in my life, I've always told God, that's cool when I have money, when I have it figured out, when I have all the answers. I don't know if you guys are like me, but that's my response. And God said, that's not faith. He said, faith's trusting me. And so I had money to just build. I have a container on my lot. And so I was just going to condition the shipping container for me. And I told the guys building, I said, well, we're going to throw a second floor on here and see what God does. And so that was about a year ago. And so I've had probably 12 girls come in and out. And right now I have three, well, the two girls and then one more. And then my heart is what God's really put on me is this next year, every Friday night, my house is going to be open to girls that want a safe place to come spend the night, come eat pizza, come hang out. And find Jesus, and that my same girls who I'm pouring into have the opportunity to pour in, which I think is just so cool, because I've been empowered by people in my life. Jim's been one of those, but there's been so many people who've come alongside and said, come on, Jessica, you can do it, and point you to where Jesus is calling you. And so my job is fun. It's watching miracles happen. We give out veggies every Monday and Friday at the Refuge. And so the Refuge was donated all these vegetables, but it was more than we could handle. And so we just said, well, let's bless the community. And you should have seen it during COVID. It was crazy. The first week, we had a line out to the main road. The police came and were like, what is this line? What are these people doing here? And they started shaking the police vehicle, and it was a mess. But and to watch this truck pull up that maybe is half full, and we're thinking, how in the world are we going to bless all these people? We have a line out the door. And to just watch how God multiplies the fish and the bread, I watch it every day. And there's enough. There's always enough to give to each person. And that's the joy of giving. And then the last thing I'm going to share is to watch these guys during the pandemic. We shut down for about 2 months where we didn't go out, which was a hard moment because that's 30 mouths that we're feeding and there's no money coming in, but it's trusting God instead of shutting it down. And people would come to the door, other women and people from the community saying, we have nothing to give our kids. There's no food. And they go to Pastor Christian. They're like, give him that bag of rice. Give him that. Give him that. They're like, well, we don't have to eat. It's okay. They can eat. And so I think it's just cool to watch how when you encounter Jesus and he becomes real in our life, just like he is here, it challenges you to live in that. And so going off of what Jim is saying, live it. We have so much time. You know, especially in the pandemic, there's been a lot of time. I don't know. I found like there's a lot of time. But live it to bless someone else. And that's where the true joy comes. And I don't know what else. What else do you want to share?
No, that's really good. And I think that, you know, while we have a little bit of a smaller church, especially during COVID, we have the heart of a lion.
Yes.
We might not have a big church, but we have a big heart and we are givers. Mm-hmm. We are people who are not... You know, success is what you can do in you. Congratulations, you've got this and you've got that. You know, wow, everyone, whoa, aren't you important? And that's a big deal in our community. Significance is when you take what God has given you and you make a difference in the lives of others. That is what Hope Church values. It's not how, you know, how big or whatever we can get. It's what can we do for the kingdom? And for a church our size, we would rival any church in the nation about what God has asked us to do. And it's not your pastors, it's you saying, we can do this. There's times I am shaky-kneed, and you give me encouragement, and like, we can do this. But during this time, it's like so many people have put Christianity on pause in our country. And pretty soon, what are we going to do? When they say, hey, I'm sorry, you go to that church and they believe the Bible and we don't agree with this and we don't want to pay you. And when they tell you, you can't go to church, what are you going to do? This is coming. And there's a time where we're going to have to actually walk out our faith and it's going to cost us something. And I don't look forward to that, but I look forward to the church being so strong that the gates of hell cannot penetrate the will and the purpose of God in our lives. And it's exciting. Okay, and then Aaron, you're going to take, you got another hour before we're done. Go ahead. Anything else you want to share, Greta?
Well, no, yes. He's mean, and I always fall into his jokes because I don't get sometimes he's joking. So this is one of those times. I just want to share one of our ministries is to help women to live their life of abuse and depression. So we have a sewing program. For many years, I was praying for machines, praying because every time we were trying to see how they can repair the machines, and they were all broken, and it was a mess. And then the church, it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, then they showed up with 20 machines. Now, 20 machines doesn't mean that we reached 20 ladies. It means that the one machine is going to be used for at least 5 ladies we can reach and empower them. When you hear those ladies realizing, I can do something, when they come, they hardly talk, they don't see you in their eyes, and hear how that changes, how God uses that for them to know they have gifts. Some of them are really good, which is not my case, but most of them are really good sewing. They ended up selling. We have a bakery and didn't have. So, well, first of all, the machines were provided by Hope Church. And I just want to tell you how huge impact it had And for all of us, I mean, the missionary doing that job and seeing those, now the machines are in different ministry. Afterwards, they donated for two other. We have that program that is Art House called, and we have it in different ministries. And so they all have their machines to do the quilting and the things. And so it's amazing to see those ladies coming and changing. I mean, now they are empowered by, you know, of course, the first and most important thing is drive them to Jesus and tell them he's the hope you can have. But if we wouldn't have those, really, honestly, those resources would be so limited. So to have them and to see that difference in their lives is a joy. I mean, I can tell you guys with all my heart, I have gone through, it's not that you come to the missions and you are, you know, in heaven. No, you have hard times and you have tests. But I have the joy in my heart no matter what. And I know it comes by seeing them. And Jessica is the same, but seeing their faces, but they were so happy to have something to use new in Costa Rica. The only time for most families, and it's not that I'm saying, yeah, that we all have this extreme need, but most families will get an extra bonus for Christmas. And that's the only time in the year that they can find or buy an outfit. So they get one for the 25th of December, one for the 1st of January. And so we all would get that in December. And so the fact that the boys will have something to use that is new, it was huge. They don't know, because they were probably, we were talking about how they are probably bullying. Because if a child doesn't have new clothes for the Christmas day, you are so poor. I mean, they couldn't even get a shirt for you, and they would be bullying. So, bullying, yes. So it's going to be a great Christmas for them. You know, in the middle of the pandemic, we will see their faces. So I know it's not important, and we don't want to make like the things that are, you know, how you say, material, important for them. But we want to tell them, you know, your father cares about you. He bought new clothes for you this year. So it's just so meaningful. We have like girls. And Rena said, which is a ministry with girls from 12 through 17 years old, that you guys have been fixing their hair for their graduation. They stay with us 15 months, and they, you know, are able to overcome their drugs. Those are girls that are 13 years old and in prostitution, in a drug house living. And so one of the things, this year, the government cut all the funds, because that ministry receives funds from the government. This year, they cut them all. And so Jim didn't know. No one told you that they didn't have. So there are not resources for Christmas party for the girls. There is nothing we can do this year. And then when I call Juani and I say, Jim wants to go and visit, and he's bringing an offering, and Juani heard, and this is one of our missionaries that is not easily broken. She was broken to hear God's care through Hope Church. So that's what I'm saying. We never have, the exact idea that all the impact that it creates for us in Christ for the City. But this year, especially this Christmas, one of the hardest one has been a blow up. It's huge. It's huge in many ways. So for that girls, we will have Christmas parties and presents and things. For the boys in Pamas, they will be able to have their new clothes. We have the machines to continue the program, and ladies will be transformed. And so it's huge. And I want to say thank you. I'm so proud of you. I'm so thankful to Jim. I don't even remember how everything came to for us to be a partner. But again, small church. I'm so thrilled.
Well, if you would show up at your home church more often, maybe that would help.
To make it smaller?
No, not to make it smaller. Yeah, to have more people here with you.
Oh.
They'd probably come and hear you speak.
Yeah, that's it.
So one thing we didn't mention, are you going to mention about, I don't even know if you are, I'm so excited for what Hope Church has done, and it's like, there's so many directions. Are you going to talk about the whole discipleship thing with the 56?
You can talk about it.
Just real quick, pastors there don't have training like they should. And so they get into weird doctrine things. And they came to us and said, can you help pastors be trained? We're like, yeah, we'll help provide. It's called Natural Church Development. It's a solid program. And we didn't know how many people would sign up, but we'll pay for a part of the assessment. What we do in Costa Rica, we're not welfare. We start programs so people can do their own thing and continue to grow it. And just this last week, they went through, I think, 8 months, multiple training times. I think it's like 4 to 6 hours a month. They have to do these assessments, implement them in their churches, come together, and they just finished this week. And we were the ones who helped this happen. 56 leaders have been trained because of this. And you have to kind of be puffing your chest out, saying you're part of this. And if you've never given, it's okay. But I tell you, there's a blessing that you're missing. There is an absolute blessing that you're missing, because it is actually true. We cannot outgive the Lord. All right, Aaron, we're done. You've got the last hour and a half.
It's tough to follow. Well, first I want to say it was a great privilege to be able to go this time. And usually there's that saying that, you know, don't kill the messenger. And it was the opposite of don't thank the messenger, because that's kind of how I felt, because it was on behalf of everyone here and their giving. And it was such a privilege to see the impact of their ministry, the impact of your giving. So just to let you know, it was a great privilege, very humbling. And just a, you know, the big, for me, big part was having those, young men from the refuge going to be able to shop. And I never seen a group of guys more excited, more into shopping than that, like 30 guys shopping. They were, oh yeah, and there's, just right quick, because I know we're, there. We found a new technique of how to measure if something's going to fit. You take like your pants or your shorts or waistline, and you wrap it around your neck, and if it kind of feels good, that should match your waist. I'll show you later if you're still confused. But that was such an awesome thing. So many of those guys would come up and say thank you. Yeah, so thankful. And as Jim mentioned, a lot of them never had a gift given to them. And if, you know, a lot of those guys in those situations, if someone was going to give something to them, there was something expected in return. And so here they were getting something from someone they never met. And as Gretel said, it was more than just clothes, something more than material things. It was something that they were given for nothing expected, and showing Christ's love through what you gave. Another big thing I want to talk about is so many stories I heard from Jessica, heard from Gretel, heard from others, God had a calling for them. And you know, a ministry, a mission that wasn't possible without some kind of resources, some kind of funding. And they had the faith to say, well, I'm going to step in faith and do it and go. And so such a great example of that. But on that other side, God's going to provide for whatever God's calling them to do. And we have a decision to make. Are we going to be a part of that? Because if we don't, that's not going to happen. God's going to find someone else to be a part of it. And so we're so fortunate to be a part of that, for you to decide, I'm going to invest. I'm going to be part of that.
Well, think about if we would have never done what God called us to do, even this last week. The kingdom suffers, and we miss the blessing. How many blessings have we actually missed that God has his hand out, saying, here's the blessing, just take it, and we walk the other direction. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not... What if we wouldn't have gone? It hurts the kingdom. And we have to take that personally. We've all been given what the Bible talks about, these talents. Do we bury them? Or are we kingdom minded?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really.
The thing as well of, you know, more than just sending money, what, you know, for those who've been able to go, a big theme during conversations was it's not just about resources. I mean, that we were able to bless a lot of people with their ministry, bless them personally, to help them, to give them a blessing for Christmas, you know, a little something for them to do something with their families. But the big theme was the relationship built. So the relationship Jim's built with others. So many people here have been able to go, and to where it may have been exciting just because they hadn't seen a gringo in 10 months, but you know, us showing up was big for them just because they felt a connection. You know, from hundreds of miles away that were there in fellowship with them and what their ministry is doing.
Jim is extremely popular when he gets to Costa Rica.
Yeah, I always say Jim's really big in India and really big in Costa Rica.
I'm big everywhere. I'm not worried about COVID killing me. I'm worried about French fries and burgers. But anyway, hey, you know, I'm passionate today, but the truth is I love Hope Church. I love you. And I can't do this without you, and there's times when I'm gone, and I feel so guilty about being gone. And yet, we are a church that is not just about here. We're a church that's all about here, but then in the same breath, it's all about there. When we had our first child, I'm like, if we have another kid, how am I even going to love this kid? And then it's not that you chose, it's that my heart grew, and I was able to love two kids and so our heart has grown. It's not that we love one more than the other, it's just that our heart, you know, and you understand that if you have kids or, you know, wow, my heart, wow. And so what a joy to have relationships that have been built over years. And we're not a one and done thing. We want to go and be together. And we'll talk or do things not just when we're going to go there. It's throughout the year, just about different things. And so what a great time. Well, Aaron, you can either close the service or you can keep going.
Oh, okay.
Whatever you want to do.
I'll close this out.
You're an elder.
Yeah. I'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you first, Lord, for your promise of salvation, Lord, for your son and sacrifice for us, Lord. And also just thankful that you call us to be something bigger than what we can imagine, Lord, that you call us to be a part of your plan. And you have a plan for all of us, and you have a calling for all of us, Lord. And I just ask that you continue to build our faith, for us to receive that, Lord, to walk in that, Lord. I'm so thankful for our friends that are here today, Lord God. Thankful for Jessica and Gretel and all those missionaries, Lord, and the work that they're doing for your children, Lord, for those who have been cast aside, Lord, for those who people have said there's no hope in this person. Why waste your time, Lord? These children, Lord, are worth all the time that we can give, Lord, to win them to you. Lord, so thankful for everyone who came here today, Lord. I just pray for safe travels back home. Be with those throughout the week. Continue to encourage and build faith, Lord, and that your love would be shown. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So what we're going to do, if you have any questions for Jessica or Gretel, well, I mean, we're in just 10 seconds, we're dismissed, but feel free, we're going to kind of keep them up here so you don't breathe on them. I mean, we want you to breathe, but just not on them. So we're trying to keep them kind of in a bubble. But if you have any questions or just want to get to know them a little more, hang out a few minutes and just talk to them before we all head out. God bless you so much. Hope at home.
God bless you.
God bless you. We love you all, and we look forward to seeing you this next week.